Father, we have come into this house today with thanksgiving in our hearts, and we come to give you praise, honor, and glory. We thank you this morning. Now, Lord, I yield myself to you. I speak, Lord, publicly that I am healed in Jesus' name. Doesn't make any difference what the circumstances are, what the symptoms are. Lord, I'm healed because of the price that was paid and the work that was done on Calvary. Now, Lord, I yield myself to you. Use me as you see fit, Lord. I thank you for the words you've given me, Lord. Now, Lord, I pray that it comes forth from you, Lord, that you would be the one who speaks through me. I thank you for that, Lord. We exalt you. We step back behind the cross, Lord, and we give all glory and honor and praise and thanksgiving to you. And thank you for the outcome of today. In Jesus' precious holy name, the name that's above every name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm glad to be here. I'm glad you're here. More than that, I'm glad the Lord's here. Amen. The Spirit of God. Hallelujah. I want to talk to you about something this morning that basically God put on my heart at 10:30 last, or 10 o'clock last night, 10:30, something like that. I was after him all week, and just nothing came until 10 o'clock last night. But when it came quickly, and it came good. And praise the Lord. I want to talk to you about, well, let me just preface it by saying, in this society we have, in this country, we have federal, state, and local laws. And those laws are there to protect innocent people against people who would violate those laws or the peace and safety and freedoms of you and I. Now, when you get in trouble with those laws, you are condemned, number one, and then you are convicted if you go before a jury of your peers. If you are convicted, you are sentenced. It's no secret that every one of us faced a sentence, faced a debt. In other words, you have a debt to pay to society and to the ones that you violated. Amen? And it's no secret that every one of us know that we were those debtors and we were the ones who violated the law. But we wouldn't know that there was any kind of problem in our lives if there wasn't law or any violation if the law wasn't there. Is that right? So, what I want to share with you this morning is the fact that you have been redeemed from the law, it's been fulfilled, and you are free. Now, let's understand something right from the start. When you're really free and you've been born again, then you have no desire to violate those laws anymore. Now, your flesh has appetites that make you kind of wander astray sometimes, but the point is you are not under the law any longer. Why? We're going to look at that this morning. The title this morning, just quickly, is Fulfillment of the Law, or The Fulfillment of the Law. And it's amazing how much Scripture there is and how much God has written in His Word about this very subject. First of all, we're going to read, I have two Scriptures here that I want to read. First of all is Psalm 71:23. My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing to you, and my soul which you have redeemed. That word redeemed just literally means purchased. You purchased it. So you're not your own. The Scripture tells us you're not your own. You were bought with a price. So we have become, I don't know how I want to put this, we're slaves, but not slaves in the sense that you think about slaves. I'm enslaved to the Lord because of the fact that I understand who He is, I understand what He's done for me, and I have a desire to serve Him. I'm enslaved by my free will, not because it was thrust upon me or forced upon me. And the same with you. What you do and the fact that you're a slave of God, if you want to use that terminology, or a servant of God, is because you chose to be. Amen? Galatians 3:13. Christ, that's Galatians 3:13. Christ has redeemed or purchased us from the curse of the law. See, the law brings a curse, or if you will, a condemnation. Once you're convicted, there's a sentence that is pronounced on you. And you're obligated to fulfill that sentence. Are you with me? But because of Christ and the fact that He redeemed or purchased us from the curse of the law, and the law is a curse. It's a weight around our necks. See, we wouldn't know. First of all, the law is good in the sense, the old law was good in the sense that it told us there were things we needed to abide by. But Jesus came, and He purchased us, and He took us out from under the law and put us into grace. And that has some tremendous meanings to us as believers. He became the curse for us. And it says in verse 13 of Galatians 3, it says, "For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree." Devil, you're a liar. And the part that's so cool about this, if you look to 1 Peter 1, verses 18 and 19, is that we were not redeemed with corruptible things or fleshly things, okay? Like silver or gold. In other words, our freedom didn't come with a price of silver or gold. It came at the price of Jesus' blood. Praise the Lord. 1 Peter 1, 18 and 19. It says, "Knowing that you were not redeemed or purchased with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by the traditions from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish." In other words, there was no flaw or sin of the world on Him, and without spot. We had to have high priests go into the Holy of Holies under the Old Covenant to bring about our being covered. And that took the sprinkling of blood of sacrificial offerings, spotless. But thank God, the one who is spotless, blameless, and sin-free came and purchased us with His precious blood at the will of the Father. The law was set forth to give guidelines, rules, and regulations to keep you from transgressing. It was there so that you could be in the right place, in the right attitude with the Lord, with God. Amen? Have a relationship with Him. But Jesus came, and by the purchase that He made through His blood, completely and totally, He became the one who was the stand-in, or if you will, the scapegoat for our transgressions. So that we did not have to, the advocate, if you will, so that we did not have to suffer the judgment of the violation of the law. Romans 6, 5 and 6 says, "For if we have been united together in the likeness of His death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection." We were passed from death to life because He purchased us. "Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be done away, that we should no longer be slaves of sin," or the law. Now we read in Galatians 2:20, and everybody knows this scripture, "For we were crucified with Christ, nevertheless we live, but it's not us who lives, it's Christ in us. And the life that we live in the flesh, we live by what? The faith of the Son of God, who loved us and gave Himself for us." Romans 6:10, "For He died, for the death that He died to sin once for all, but the life that He lives to God." And the same is said about us. We're in the image and likeness of God, and it's so that we could have right standing, and so that we didn't have to be under that curse of the law anymore. First of all, when you violate the law, I don't care who you are, you know in your heart and your mind that you've done wrong. And so there's guilt and there's condemnation that comes with that. But we've been redeemed from that. We've been set free once and for all from that. In Hebrews 7:26 to 28, talks to us and tells us about the high priest who went and who went before us, and the one who made intercession for us and was that advocate who brought about and fulfilled the pardon that God had predestined for us, in that Jesus would come. He took all of the sin, the corruption, the violation of the law on Himself, and He took it to the cross, and it was nailed there forever. And in Hebrews 7:26, it says, "For such a high priest was fitting for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens." And that high priest does not need daily, as the high priests, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifices first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once for all when he offered up himself. For the law appoints high priests, men who have weakness, but the word of the oath, which came after the law, appoints the Son, who has been perfected forever. Because of what He did, we are in that same place. We have been perfected forever. And that doesn't mean we don't make mistakes. That doesn't mean we don't miss the mark once in a while. But there's no condemnation and there's no law to point a finger of accusation against us. Amen? Do you believe that? So in that respect, Jesus came to fulfill that law. When the law is fulfilled, when it talks about the law being fulfilled, that means that the law, the requirements of the law have been met. Y'all get that? It's been met. So now there is no finger pointing at us from God any longer, but from the accuser. And he's already been dealt with. Praise the Lord. That was Hebrews 7. 20, I don't know if I said 10. If I did, I'm sorry. It's 7, 26 to 28. Then in Hebrews 10, 8 through 10, God had no delight in the sacrifices. It was an outward sign of repentance for the things and the transgressions of the people, and those transgressions were completely covered by the blood of Jesus. And in verse 8 it says, in Hebrews 10, it says, "Previously saying, sacrifice and offering, burnt offerings for sin, you did not desire, nor had pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law." In other words, the law required those. Just as the law requires payment in this day and age, that law required payment also. Only that law required death for transgressions against the Lord. It was the law of man, not the law of God. It was done in respect to the Lord, but it was not what God had delight in. And the temporary offering. Verse 9 says, "Then he said, Behold, I have come to do your will, O God. He takes away the first, that he may establish the second. By that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." Once again, we read that it's one sacrifice, done one time, and it completely fulfilled everything and met the requirement of the law. We're redeemed. There is nothing hanging over our heads to condemn us any longer. Amen? Y'all should be able to say amen to that, because that's the truth. We need to really understand this, because that'll take away a lot of the stuff we suffer through, a lot of the guilt, the condemnation we suffer through, when we do make what we consider one little violation. Okay? First of all, let me once again say, you all know this, there's only one law that required death. The sin unto death, if you will, the sin. And that was the sin of rejecting Jesus. The gift that God gave. It's just like spitting in God's face. So, when you receive Him, you're completely covered. And remember, the Scripture says that those old things that we were like, those things that we did previous to coming under grace and receiving the Lord, that's what He required of us. But when you come to know the Lord, you, that person, no longer exists. That's another thing that we have to have deep down in our spirits and hearts and understand, so the enemy can't use things against us. That person is dead. What you did in the past is the past. Past is past. There's nothing there. Verse 10, Hebrews 10:10. "By that will we have been sanctified," or set apart, "through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. The anointed one once for all. Do you understand that by the will of God and the obedience of Jesus, we have been sanctified or set apart, set free, delivered, redeemed because of the offering of the body of Jesus. And it was done once for all. Not only for all people, but all times. Listen to what Romans 4, verses 14 and 15 say. For if those who are of the law are heirs, faith, in other words, if you're still an heir, and you feel there's still punishment coming to you, then what you need to understand is if you're under the law and you're an heir of that, faith is made void and the promise of God is made no effect. That's why you have to be free. You have to know that you're free, that you're a new creation, a new species, a new being, a new person. Those things that were held against you are gone. They don't exist anymore. Even the very books and the record in the books is gone. It's like it never happened. Praise the Lord. Because the law brings about wrath. For where there is no law, listen carefully, there is no transgression. Good place to shout, hallelujah. Because the law brings about wrath or judgment, for where there is no law, there is no transgression. Praise the Lord. Acts 3:19 says, repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. That word literally means, translated, obliterated. Now, I don't know about y'all's definition, but when I think of something obliterated, there's nothing left. Glory to God. Glory to God. There's nothing left. So that what? The times of refreshing may come from where? The presence of the Lord. You remember the day you gave your life to the Lord? What you felt inside? You felt refreshed. You felt new. You felt alive. Amen? And that's because your transgressions, the day you said, Jesus, you're my Lord. You are the virgin-born Son of God. You came to earth to redeem me, and I'm now giving my life to you. And you felt at that moment, or at least in your thoughts, you may not have felt it immediately, but in your thoughts, you knew by what you had read and what you'd been shown that you were translated from death to life. You had been redeemed. You had been set free from those accusations that plagued you, that haunted you. Amen? Glory to God. The times of refreshing may come from the Lord. Colossians 2:13 and 14. And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh. When we think of circumcision, there is a cutting away. And that's part of what happened when you received life in place of the death that you faced, eminently faced. And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh is what was out of control. You had no knowledge of God, or if you knew about God, you just did whatever you wanted to anyway. How many know what I'm talking about? In the uncircumcision of your flesh, He made alive. We've been passed from death to life. Together with Him, having forgiven, listen carefully, folks, all your trespasses. There's nothing still hanging. There's not one thing that you did prior to knowing Jesus. Not one thing that, no matter how bad you feel it was, that you're not exonerated from by the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus. We've been hearing and listening to the fact of the work that was completed through the crucifixion of Jesus. And this is the main thrust and the main crux of what it was. Is all those things that could be held against us and used against us in God's court of law have been done away. Are you with me? When we stand in God's court of law now, we are not condemned. Amen? Having wiped out the handwriting, listen carefully, wiped out. Now, I can only get one picture from that, meaning that they're gone. wiped out the handwriting of requirements or the ordinances. That's what requirements. In the King James, it says ordinances. That was against us, which was contrary to us. When you're in trouble with the law, it's contrary to you. And you face what you deserve. It's not something that's comfortable or fun. And has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Whew, hallelujah. Taken it out of the way and nailed it to the cross. Those ordinances that were against us, they've been done away with. They were contrary to us. They brought imminent destruction to us. We deserved that tree or the punishment, the sentence. But it was taken out of the way, done away with, and it was nailed to the cross once and for all. And remember the cry of Jesus at the very end. It is finished. What God desired to have happen for you and I and the world was that it was completely made clean, whole. There was no transgression of the law anymore. Jesus, at that moment, fulfilled the law's requirement that somebody be punished for what had been done, contrary to the Lord. Amen? In Colossians 2:15, this ought to excite us. And by that doing so, disarmed principalities and powers. And then on top of that, he humiliated them publicly. He said he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. In what? In the work of God on the cross because of Jesus' obedience. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We ought to be excited. We ought to think that's the greatest thing, and we ought to never lose sight of that. We ought to get up every morning thanking God that we have been redeemed. We've been set free from the curse of the law, that the law has been fulfilled. It hasn't been done away with, but its requirements have been completely taken care of forever, once and for all. Colossians 2:15, a powerful scripture. Having disarmed principalities and powers, Jesus made a public spectacle of them, and he triumphed over them in the work. Isaiah 43:1, but now, thus says the Lord who created you, O Jacob. Remember in Isaiah, it's type and shadow of the church, spiritual Israel. But now, thus says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, and he who framed you, or formed you, O Israel. Fear not, fear not. There should be no fear. You should never sense any fear in your walk with the Lord, unless you're about to willfully do something you're not supposed to do, in which case repentance is required. And David was one who wasn't sin-free, or should I say, who didn't do wrong. But when he did, he immediately repented, making him and you and I, if we'll follow that same lead, men and women after God's own heart. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. Listen carefully. I have called you by your name. God knows your name. In another place it says that it's written in his hand. Your name, you and I, are written in the palm of his hand. And he says, you are mine. You're not the enemies. Amen? So the one who really has brought about the transgression of the law has been dealt with, because the law has been fulfilled, and he, the perpetrator, has also been dealt with. Not completely, but for the moment. And how is he dealt with? Because God gave us authority over the principalities and powers and the works of darkness, or dominion, if you will, over everything in this world, of which he is the Father. Is that right? Did you miss something, or are you not in agreement with me, or what? That's not me, it's the Word. Disarm principalities and powers. He gave us. But you know what he said? God said in his Word, he said, don't rejoice that you have that authority over those demonic powers or those demonic things. What was the emphasis in that scripture? He says, but rejoice that your name is in the book of life. Glory to God. How could your name be in the book of life if you had ordinances that were still pending against you? If you had violated laws that were still, the outcome was still pending against you? Then you wouldn't have received a pardon, would you? You'd still be under that old curse, right? But you're not. Remember, we read earlier, once for all, it's finished. He said, it's finished. The old me, the old you, no longer exists in any shape, fashion, or form. Harry's brought out many times, we've talked about it many times. That means even, and of course, it's interesting that Adam being the blood of God means the blood of God, and then Jesus was the second and final Adam, or the final blood of God. You now have the DNA of God in you. Not the DNA of Satan. Not the DNA of the world. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. Isaiah 44:22. Listen carefully. I, who's the I? Jesus, God the Father, have blotted out, listen carefully, like a thick cloud, your transgressions. In other words, that ugly cloud that surrounded you and I is gone. It's blotted out. It's done away with. It's like a big fan came through and just blew it away. Now clear skies, clear sailing. And like a cloud, your sins. He blotted out not only the cloud, but the sins, which is what brought that cloud. Return to me, says the Lord, for I have redeemed you or purchased you. Then in Psalm 103:12, for as far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgressions from us. We read in another place in the Word that he says they're buried in the deepest sea. They're unrecoverable. There are depths in the ocean that only now we're beginning to be able to explore because the pressure is so great that they're unobtainable. Those are unattainable places. So what I would say to you, in understanding the Scripture, is that what was held against you exists no more. Or what could have been held against you. It exists no more. It's not there. He's removed it. Does the East ever meet the West? It's impossible. But because those things are buried in the deepest ocean, you know, it's amazing. They can't be recovered, but yet, when the enemy comes and lies to us, we seem to pick them up real quick. Part of that's because we have a heart that doesn't want to displease God. Amen? But because of guilt and shame, which the enemy, the one who's the condemner, the Bible says there's now therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen? Jesus didn't come to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. And because of this work, and because of the fact that you have been released, those ordinances have been wiped out. Now, if your heart, which is your mind, will, and emotions, your seat of appetites, the things that your spirit man try to bring up to condemn you, or somebody else brings up, like Paul, we can say, I don't know what you're talking about. And you're not lying. It's done away with. It's over with. Freedom is the order of the day. Freedom. Again, like Wednesday night, we talked about who you are in Christ. One of the things you are in Christ is free. Free from the law of sin and death. Free from destruction. Amen? Psalm 103:12, as far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. Praise the Lord. For us to walk in victory, this is one of the most important things that we need to understand. Our salvation is eternal. It's a gift. And the day we reached out and received that gift, we stepped into a new existence. A new existence. And a new life. A new life. Amen? Isn't it a new life? That's what the Scripture says. And that's what we experienced, is a new life. A life free from that old garbage. Free from it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Free from it. It can't haunt us anymore. It can't touch us anymore. Praise the Lord. God's good. Amen. If you have been or you are being plagued right now with accusations or feelings of inferiority or feeling that you have shortcomings in your life or you've missed the mark, I don't care what it is, it's an accusation of the enemy. And if the old man is non-existent anymore, and you're new, then those accusations can't possibly be true, can they? And yet our carnal mind has trouble wrapping its arms around that and embracing that. Because we operate from senses. And because we have a conscience. But you know, conscience is easily dealt with. Not by pushing it off or burying it, by going to the Lord and saying, Father, I'm sorry. I confess it to you. I release it to you. And then knowing that you walk in forgiveness. Walk in forgiveness. And not only that, I would submit to you that when you do that, you'll find that it's easier to forgive one another. Because you understand that you have been forgiven. And you remember what you have been forgiven of. Amen. Each one of us had things in our lives that we were ashamed of. We didn't want anybody to know. Jesus fulfilled the requirement of the Father by being obedient and took those things away. And now, if that's the case, let me ask you, what do you have to be ashamed of anymore? Looking back, having those things try to pop their heads up is what brings shame, what brings guilt and condemnation. But you're free of that. They don't exist anymore. Once and for all, we need to make the decision that it's been dealt with. It's gone forever. Forever. And usually they come when we're about to do something, or we did something that we knew was probably not really what God wanted us to do. That's not willful disobedience. That's just, well, it is willful disobedience. I'll trust the Holy Spirit to minister to you about that. Praise the Lord. Because of the Spirit of God in us, we know right away when we've maybe missed the mark a little bit, maybe acted not like Jesus in some situation. We've been hasty in our actions or our thoughts or our words. And right away, you feel that pierce in your heart. Oh. You know, it's just simple enough. Go to the Lord and say, Father, I'm sorry. As Bob ministered, you want to be that vessel of excellence. You want to be that vessel of honor for the Lord. A heart that is submitted to God. Should run with joy in anticipation of having that heaviness done away with by simply saying, Father, I confess it. I'm sorry. The Bible says if you confess and forsake. The word is sin, but it's sin that's mistranslated or misspoken of. Praise the Lord. It's disobedience is all it is. Or not operating in the love of God. It's not sin to death. Scripture talks about the thief when he's found out. When something comes to steal from you, identify it. Put the finger on it. Say, not here, you're not. And then go to the Lord. Release it to Him. We all have a tendency to be just a slight bit self-centered. You only use the word selfish, you can use that word. How many know what I'm talking about? And unless we keep that down, that's what we operate in. That's that other old world thing that, well, I've got my rights. Don't you know who I am? Well, do you know who you are? Do you know whose you are? Amen? Do you know whose you are? Scripture says that when we understand whose we are and we've been redeemed, we can't do the things that we want to do anymore or that would try to pop up. That's why we have to continually keep our soul in submission and our flesh in submission to the Spirit and the Word of God, which always agree. And when we do that, then we walk in this freedom and the understanding of it with total victory. Total victory. Amen? Hallelujah. That's where I want to walk. How about you? That's where I want to walk. I want to walk day in and day out. And you know what? Because of that, I have more tolerance. Listen carefully. I have more tolerance for the things that would try to upset me. That would come to try to, if you will, get the hackles on the back of my neck to stand up, or the hairs, whatever. Which means I walk in peace. There have been some of you in this place, but there's been many out there that I've looked them in the eye and said, there's not one thing you can do to stop the fact that I love you, or to change my mind, or to have me turn against you. You don't have that kind of authority and power in my life. You understand? You don't have that kind of power in my life. Why? Because I operate in the authority and power of God. You do too, if you just submit to it and stop thinking about your inadequacies and thinking about the fact that He was more than enough. More than enough. Amen? Praise God. Praise God. I'm reminded of an old song. Words saying, we serve a great, big, wonderful God. Amen? And one of the things that He said He's given us, when He said, I've given you all things that pertain to life and godliness, is the ability to walk guilt-free. To walk free of being offended. To walk free either by yourself or somebody else. You know, it's one thing when you hit your own thumb with a hammer. To forgive yourself. But it's a whole other thing when somebody inadvertently, and 99 out of 100 times it's inadvertently, hits your thumb with a hammer. And you can say, it's okay. It's okay. I've been redeemed. I've been set free. Those ordinances, those things that I had against me have been done away with once and for all. Once and for all. And so, I release it to God. It doesn't make any difference to you and I whether there was malice involved in whatever happened to us or whatever somebody did. It doesn't make any difference. God knows. That's why we cast our care on Him. I mean, the first thing that happens when we've been done wrong, the first thing that comes into our puny little flesh minds, retribution. Oh, don't look at me in that tone of voice. You know what I'm talking about. retribution. And yet, God says, when the thief is found out, he's required. Required by who? You and I know. But by our releasing it to God and releasing that person, God requires the sevenfold return of the thief. Amen? One of the things we forget is people who violate us, for the most part, are not our enemies. For the most part, and under normal circumstances in normal everyday life, it's the people closest to us. Oh, ouch. I don't know about y'all, I expect bad things to come from people who don't know the Lord. They're just operating in their nature. They're operating and imitating their father, which the scripture says, we will imitate our father. I don't remember one place in the Word where God lightly or in a moment of impetuousness ever sent judgment to somebody. In the Old Testament, yes. Just because something happened that he didn't like. See, we got to get in our thinking. We got to see. You got to be able to see this, that God looks at us only with love. He sees us only through the blood of Jesus, forgiven. Considers us his children, sons and daughters, his sons and daughters, and heirs. When I think of my children, obviously as a father, there's things I don't like sometimes. And everybody laughs at this, and this is kind of funny, but it's not true. I'm telling you right now, it's not true. You face judgment. You all, we all know this. One of the big things that people laugh about with Bill Cosby, he says, man, he says, I brought you in this world, and I'll take you out and make another one just like you. And that's not God. Amen? We see in the Word where God repented sometimes of the very thoughts that he had, because we're his creation. And what he did in releasing us from those accusations, from the laws that were transgressed, is set us free so that we don't have to walk in guilt or in trepidation or fear that the hammer's coming. You know, where's it coming from? Looking over our shoulder. Kind of, we start looking like a turtle. Amen? There's no retribution in God. Did you hear me? There's no retribution in God. He'll repay what needs to be repaid. He'll exact vengeance where vengeance is necessary. But our purpose in existence is to be the example of Christ, to be the Christ in this earth so that others will see and be set free and begin to know and walk in the power and authority that we walk in. Amen? Amen. That's what it's about. And we're never going to be doing it. And we'll never be able to get there if we act contrary to the image of God and what he's like, his character. Slow to anger, quick to forgive, and quick to release. Remember, he sees the heart. He knows whether what was done to you and I, or what you and I do to others, or against him, was done out of malice or hatred, or it was just an inadvertent act, a little too quick to operate in the flesh. We're free. We're free from all those things. And that's why we can go, no matter what the situation is, boldly to his throne and find grace to help in the time of need. Amen? When you get angry about something, when I get angry about something, that's a good time to run and find grace, because there's a time of need, and you need, so that you can forgive somebody else. And in so doing, fulfill the scripture in that, in that point, instead of somebody expecting you to retaliate or act like they would, you show the grace and love and mercy of God. Remember, mercy assumes need, or a need, on the part of the one who receives it. And to the one who gives or shows mercy, it's resources that are adequate to meet the need of the one who needs that mercy at that moment. Amen? If God gave us what we deserved, you and I wouldn't be here. But He didn't. He created us for Himself. He loves us. He says it's an everlasting love. What do you do with that word, everlasting? When does that end? Never. Never. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you need prayer, don't be ashamed. Don't be hesitant. Let us know so we can pray with you. If you want to come up here, feel free. You're free indeed. You hear me? You need to say that. I am free. Indeed. I am free. Indeed. Hallelujah. And I'm prophesying that you and I will never again be entangled with the yoke of bondage. Amen? Those things that try to ensnare us. Because we'll remember whose we are. Who we are, whose we are, and what's been done. And the fact that we're free. Amen? Not to just do whatever we want to, but whatever God requires and whatever we see in the Word. Act like Jesus. Amen? Praise the Lord. Are there any needs this morning? If y'all won't come forward, I'll pray for you anyway, but the opportunity's here. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. See, with God, there is no plea bargaining. Amen. He just did away with it. If you receive it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Father, now I pray for your people, Lord. Whatever the need is, once again, Lord, you are the one who's all sufficient. Your sufficiency is more than enough. And so now I thank you that every need, whatever that is met now because of your word, because of your favor, because of your promise, which in you is yes, and so be it. Because you don't withhold any good thing from us. Not mediocre, but good. Blessing. Blessed. That's what you have in store for your people. So I thank you now that all the promises of God are in operation. All the laws of God that exist for our good. Blessing. Health. Law because Jesus paid the price. It's been purchased. It's now ours because you gave it. By not withholding your Son. We receive it all, and we thank you, Lord. And by this, and as we receive, Lord, not only as we receive, but even before we receive, we give you thanksgiving and praise and glory and honor forever. Now, thank you, Lord, for your people. I thank you that you're going to go with them. They're going to have a blessed week. And, Lord, everything we do, we want to exalt and lift up your name, to lift you up, so that men will be drawn to you. In Jesus' name. And all who agree, say amen.